life. And so the angel Clarence says this. He says the most chilling line. He says, everybody died on the transport, Harry, because Harry wasn't there to save them. You, George, weren't there to save Harry. And so I downloaded this clip this week, and I ever go to the comments of social media things? Like, I'm just here for the comments. I'm not saying. And so I will just go, and like, you look at the clip, and you'll look at the comments. Interesting. If you go to YouTube and find this video, right underneath it is like thousands of comments. And I wanted to read some of the comments because I thought they were so interesting. The most chilling line. And one man writes, one man's actions can touch so many lives without him knowing it. That's the way it is. Of paramount importance to consider our actions, both great and small, because we truly know how far your life really matters. And another guy, he writes in the comments, he says, for anyone who has ever questioned their own existence and reason for living, it's a powerful realization for George. This is an amazing movie, and I've been crying through it all my life. But I found one guy, and his name is Victor, not Mr. Victor that sings, but another Victor, and he wrote this. He said, it's a wonder one could actually save a life of another person just by being alive themselves. He said, this portion of the film changed my view of life totally when I saw it 22 years ago. He said, my prayer life grew, and I perceive life in a totally different way. He says, now I am 59. Then I was 27 years old, and I could probably think that this man was thinking about suicide. And he said, this film helped me to understand that it is a wonderful life. This morning, I want to tell you it's a wonderful life, and we don't often say this enough. Now, we are not the church that says you can do whatever you want. We believe sin is real. We believe that it affects a holy God. We just talked about repentance. However, there is a world that we live in that doesn't talk about you, the person, and that it is a wonderful life because you matter. Turn your neighbor and say, you matter. You turn to your other neighbor and say, you too. Don't keep them out. Don't keep them out because they will want to know this. We live in a world where every big people matter. You know what I'm talking about? Like Taylor Swift. She matters. Just got woman or person of the year. Come on, you all know the name Taylor Swift. Y'all acting like y'all holy up in here. I don't even know a single Taylor Swift song, but I know she matters because when I watch a Kansas City Chiefs game, what do they focus on? Travis Kelce is dating, in case you didn't know, is dating Taylor Swift, and every time during the show, anytime they see Travis Kelce, we're going to show a picture of Taylor Swift because she matters, because she's important, and she's filling up stadiums, and her songs, people sing them, and we call them Swifties. That's what we call people who follow Taylor Swift. We call Christians Jesus. But like, these are y'all laughing because you are a Swiftie. I see you people up in there, and she matters. Or like Drew Brees, he matters because he led us to a Super Bowl. And then when Derek Carr got hurt last Sunday on the field, there was a couple of us in the room that were a little bit like, it's not that big of a deal. Why? Because Drew Brees matters because he's successful, and Derek Carr doesn't matter as much because he's not as successful. Can I get an amen? An amen. No, don't, because he matters. You know, if you're into blogging, this mommy blogger, she matters because she says really cool things and her voice matters. Or if you go viral on TikTok, you know, like their TikTok or Instagram, and they call them influencers on Instagram, and those lives matters. And everything is telling me that because I live a normal life on the east side of Houma, that my life doesn't really matter like Taylor Swift, like Drew Brees, or like this famous person. Now we're at a place in our culture where they say, not only do these people matter and you don't, they say these places matter and you don't. For example, everything is bigger in Texas. Texas is better than Louisiana. Or this side of town is better than that side of town. And you matter if you live here, and you don't matter if you live in the boot of South Louisiana. That's what people are sort of saying, in case you didn't know. Or we love New York City, but then whenever you're living in rural America, growing the corn for all the people that eat all the food in America, well, then maybe your life doesn't matter because you're just a farmer. So we say people matter, or places matter, and then if you have certain things, you matter. Like Lexuses. And I don't even like Lexuses, so please, please, the joke has to stop this morning. I do not prefer a Lexus. This past week, my girls, they play basketball, and they play for Bayou Blue. And so we were playing a certain private school in the area. And if you know, people from Bayou Blue have a certain way about them. We live in Bayou Blue, so there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But a certain private school came into the building, and they looked a certain way, and they had a certain shape, and they had a certain car that they drove, and they come up into the Bayou Blue gym, you know what I'm talking about, and there was a distinction between people's lives who matter and people's lives who don't. And guess what, Bayou Blue people, you don't matter. That's sort of the atmosphere that they came across. You ever been around those kind of people? Like the people that matter and the people that don't. And then on top of that, the enemy, the devil, will say you're not doing enough. You ever felt that way? He'll say, you are not prepared. Nobody cares. You ever felt like that? Like, nobody really cares. They don't know me. They say they hate you. The enemy will speak that. Well, they hate you. You'll never fit in. You'll never fit in. You'll never be like everybody else. You're not talented. You ever walked around with that lying voice? You know, when the enemy speaks, he speaks a lie because he is the father of lies. And so when you hear that voice, but you ever heard it enough, you start to believe it. You start thinking you're not talented. You start thinking, well, I've messed up too much. I've messed up too much. Look at all the things that I have made stupid decisions in my life, and I don't really matter. Or maybe to this morning, you don't have any friends, like true friends. You got Facebook friends, but those don't count because you can delete them or unfollow them. Maybe this morning you think you're in aggravation, like I just aggravate people. I'm so aggravating. I even aggravate myself. Like that's how aggravating I am. And so you think I don't matter, and then you start thinking no one will notice if I'm gone. No one will notice if I quit showing up on maybe on Sundays, but even in life, you start thinking these things, and the enemy starts playing with your mind, and he started playing with George. You don't matter. Nothing you do matters. You're not this person. You're not at this place. You don't have these things. And this morning, I want to tell you what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God, the Bible says in Isaiah, it says the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God is forever, forever true. So it doesn't matter. Taylor Swift's will come and go. Drew Brees come and go, unfortunately. And so we see these seasons, we see these people, we see these places, we see these things. But at the end of the day, it is the Word of God that will stand forever. And what the Word of God says about you matters more than what I can say about you, and surely more than what this world will say. So I have 3 points this morning. If you are taking notes, number one, it's a wonderful life, and you matter because you are made in the image of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're made in the image of God. See, the image of God is different. It's different. That's why when young people want to become furries, it sort of messes with me. If you know what that is, it sort of messes with my soul, because we are different than everything else that God created. In the Latin, the actual word is imago Dei. When they translated the Bible into Latin, it said the word imago Dei, which means the image of God. Somebody say the image of God. This phrase comes from Genesis chapter 1 in verse 27. Here's what God does. When he creates us humans, humankind, when he creates man, what does he do? He blows the breath of God into us. He takes his breath and he says, here is my breath in your lungs. We sing that song. It's your breath in my lungs. So I pour out. I'm not a good singer. That's why I play piano. Hallelujah. I pour out my praise. Why? Because you are different than a giraffe. You are different than an elephant. You are different than the birds that are in the air. Why? Because the breath of God is in your lungs. There's a difference. When God created creation, he said it was good. When he created humanity, he said it's very good. There's some words. Why? Because the breath of God lives. That's why it should hurt us when we destroy the breath of God in other people. As a human, you reflect God. Somebody say God. Now, God's divine nature, his ability to achieve things, rests on us. You have been endowed with it. When the Creator creates you, man, when the Creator creates you as a woman, he gives you the same creativity that God himself has. You are able to create things, right? Like we've created things. We've been able to do things because the image of God rests in the inside of us. Humans reflect the divine nature of God. God has selected them and has put his image in them. He hasn't even done that to the angels. He hasn't even done that to the things, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. But who has he done that to? He has done it to you. And let's be specific this morning. Let's make it personal. This is you. You are an image bearer. Now, I mean, we sometimes we collectively say we did this, or God so loved the world, and it's so ambiguous, it's so big. But this morning, I want to be specific. I want to say that the Lord God who created all things and knows all things, he created you in the image of God. You bear him. You ever been around a family member and the little kid comes into the room and they look so much like Uncle Bobby. And like, you know, why? Because he has that characteristic, right? He has that image of Uncle Bobby. And so they look at him and they start picking up, I think he looks like Aunt So-and-so. And this person, my kids, we just said, yeah, we have eyes. It's true. And they go into the room. Why? Because they are an image bearer of the uncle or the aunt or the mom or the dad. And you are an image bearer of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are his son and you are his daughter. And tonight, this morning, you can say, that's who I am. We bear his identity. You are imago Dei. You are the image of God. You are the breath of God. And somebody needs to hear that this morning, because you've been thinking, well, I'm just what the world has created. I'm what the cosmos has dropped down. That's not who you are. That's why we're ruining our kids, because we're telling them they're like monkeys. So then when they start acting like them, we're like, well, I don't know what happened. I do. You need to tell the kids in the schools that you are imago Dei. You are the image of God, man. You are the image of you're the woman that God has created. You are the breath of God. You matter, not because you matter, but because the God that we serve matters. And he says, I've created you in my image, in my likeness. Number two, you matter because he knows you. Now, this is where you turn to your paper on the side or the chairs. I do this all the time with our youth. I usually come down and talk with them, guys. But would you grab Psalm 139, like on your papers? If you need one, just they have them all over the place. This really is for you. If you struggle with identity, if you struggle with feeling like you don't matter, and I have. I've been in seasons of my life. If you struggle with suicidal thoughts, and I don't think because I'm in a church this morning that there are not some people in this room that don't have suicidal thoughts or have had suicidal thoughts. I think the enemy is a liar, and he will speak to each one of us differently. And sometimes when we're in that place, even Elijah, one of them, Elisha, he's in the cave, right? And he starts saying, oh, God, I wish I was never born. God, why don't you just kill me? There's places, there's darkness, there is depression, specifically during Christmas. Christmas is hard, right? Because of loss, of trauma, of things that they show on the big screen that don't happen in our personal lives. And you need to know this morning that you matter because he knows you. And he knows me. And I think King David writes this psalm from a place of God. I know that there's a God in heaven, but I need him to be personal in my life. And David writes this, imagine it's actually worth saying God is creative. He puts his abilities in each one of us. That's why we're different. We should not take our existence for granted. We should not take somebody else's existence for granted. So start thanking people and loving on people that are in your life. Man, I just, that's important. The human body is not just the human body. It's an extraordinary work of art by God. You are his creation. You are a unique work of art. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're unique. You're a work of art. So the color that you are, the hair, the body, body shape, no more body shaming in the name of Jesus. There doesn't need to be any of that. And we look in the mirror, and if somebody's not body shaming us, we'll just go ahead and body shame ourselves. And so we'll look at ourselves in the mirror, and what we do right away, especially the ladies in the room, we'll turn away as quick as we can. Now, men, y'all different. Y'all build different. Y'all look at your muscles, your hairline, whatever it is. I look so good. Even Ted was telling me something about it, how amazing he looked this week. And I was like, dang, because I'm looking away from the mirror as soon as white ladies. And so we're sitting there and we think these things and we start thinking and you start looking at what culture says and these people look good and you don't. And I want to say you are a unique person. You are artistically made. You are a creature, a creation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are a unique work of art. You ever stood at an art piece and just looked at it for a while? I like art. My oldest son, he's an artist, and he will just look at art. And you look at it again and again and again. Guys, that's who you are to him, the King of Kings and the Lord. You are an art. Let's read through Psalm 139. We're going to read it. You look at it, I'm going to read it. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. Look at the God you serve. It says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in. Somebody say, hem me in. And you go behind me and before. And then you lay your hand on top of me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I can't even think about it. So David is like, this God that I serve, he goes before me. He goes behind me. He hems me in. He knows my thought. He's acquainted with all my ways. You serve a God who knows you. In verse 7 it says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take in the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me at night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. Look at verse 13. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together. Can you imagine the God of heaven just sort of sitting there and knitting you together? You think, well, there's a billion people, or there's 2 billion people. Now there's, 8 billion people in the world. But it doesn't matter. The God of heaven sit there. And as you were formed in your mother's belly, and you might say, well, what about my family? It's trash. Or I go from crazy to crazy. It doesn't matter, because the God who saw you, who knows you, who goes before you, who goes behind you, he wasn't too busy. The Bible says that he knits you together in your mother's womb. He knows who you are. He knows how he was going to create you. He knows the things that he was going to cause you to like and the things that you wouldn't like. He knows you, the Bible says in verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you say that? Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who you are. Guys, this is specific to you. This is not about God, and so much is about God, and I agree with all of that. But there is some moments in life where you say, God, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says, keep on reading in verse 14, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden for you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed surface. This is why life matters, even in the womb. It says, in your book was written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So God has written in his book about you. He has said he has formed you. He has created you. He has given you the number of days that will be in your breath. This is the God that you serve. In verse 17, David says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more than the sand. So not only all of these things, but that the God of heaven thinks about us. He says in verse 18, if I could count them, they are more than the sand. If I awake, I'm still with you. And then he just calls out this prayer, oh God, that you would slay the wicked. Oh God, men of blood, depart from me. And they speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate those who hate you, oh Lord. And do not I loathe those who rise up against you. I hate you. I hate them with a complete hatred. I count my enemies. And then in verse 23, he says, search me, oh God. You know my heart. Try me, God. See if you know my thoughts and see if there's any grievous way in me. That's what we did this morning right before this message. And lead me into the way of everlasting. You matter because he loves you, all of you. The Bible says you matter because you're in the image of God. You matter because he knows you. And then number three, and this is where we sort of put all of our time into this morning. You matter because he loves you personally. Somebody say personally. That's different. See, we can say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But the world is massive. And sometimes we need to understand the love of God for ourselves personally. See, there's a difference between this ambiguous God who loves, of course he loves the world, but does he love me? For God so loved the world. And if you grew up in church, you even heard that, that little song, Jesus loves the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in their sight. And it becomes like this theme of our lives, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. But really it's like this collective, like, oh, God loves them. God likes them. He cares for them. But what about me? And I want to say this morning that God, you matter because he loves you personally. When I was a young youth pastor in my 20s, I was at a youth pastor at another church, and we had I'll never forget this. We had a guy come in out of New Orleans, and he was from Victory Church in New Orleans, and he was super cool, and I was like super not cool. But he was super, you ever know those people that you're like, see, I matter, never mind. I get that mindset out of my mind. And so he comes in, and he's preaching for us. For our youth group on a Wednesday night, and he says, Tara, he says, just feel like God wants me to tell the people, the young people, that I love them. And I was like, okay, you know, like, do what you do. And so he gets up, and for like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, basically all he said was, and God loves you. And I'm like, we should get some Bible in there. You know, I'm trying to be like really, really like intelligent, spiritual. And they would say it again, like, I just want you to know this tonight that God loves you. And he kept on, like, for time. And guys, there were teenagers, and this was like 25 years ago, weeping in the room. And I'm looking around like, dude, all he said was God loves you, you know, like, just move on. And then the adults started weeping, like our chaperones, you know, the one people that come in. Because I think sometimes we take it as like, I know God loves the world, but I just want to know this morning if he loves me, because we feel tiny. We feel insignificant. We feel like George, right? Like what I do doesn't really matter. And the God who created the universe, the most powerful being ever, loves you personally. Somebody say personally. Try to wrap your mind around that. He loves you, not just all the people in general, but you as a person. He cares about your life, and he wants to be a part of it. So today, my whole message is you matter because God loves you. And it's a personal love. It is a love that likes who you are, that you're created as an image bearer. Yes, he knows you, absolutely. But then the Bible says he just loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he loves you. Now turn to yourself if you can do this and say, he loves me. Amen. Remember that song? It took the world by the Christian world by storm. Is like, he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he does. And I think the reason why it took the world by storm is because we weren't really secure in the fact that the God of heaven, creator God, loves us. Guys, he loves you this morning. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. In Romans 5 and verse 8 it says, but God shows his love. Somebody say love. For that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it says in Psalm 31 verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love. For you have seen my troubles. So if this morning you're in the room and you have troubles and you have care and you have anguish in your soul, you can rest assured that you can rest in his what? Unfailing love. Psalm 36 and verse 7 says, how precious is your steadfast love. Somebody say love. Oh God, the children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. We're skipping over to Romans 8 and verse 37 and 39. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then it says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of God. You got to know that. That's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where your security level is, but I do know this. Is that you don't hear it often enough. We don't hear it. Moms, you don't hear it, and fathers, you don't hear it. Students, you don't hear it, so I want to remind you, you matter. I want to remind you that your life matters. I look across the room of people that I can see somewhat because my eyes are terrible, and I think of all the ways that you've impacted my personal life. The smiles on your faces, the way that you do things, and it touches me. Your life matters. I want to say to someone in the room, the little things that no one notices, they matter to God. He sees. He's your creator, and he sees you. The touches that you make you, they matter, and God loves them. He loves your form. He loves your shape. And I'm just speaking what God gave me, and he loves you. He created you wonderfully and fearfully. You have and will have a legacy of reach. That means that your life matters to other people, even when you can't see it. Don't stop. You are an image bearer. God knows you. He loves you. And it's the unique you of who you are. That's who he loves. Don't change a thing. I mean, like, you know, stay healthy and stuff. But, like, you don't need to perform. You don't need to make all A's, but make good grades, students. But I'm just saying you don't need that for God's approval. He loves you. You don't need to clean up first. For those of you struggling, you don't have to get it all together. You don't have to be perfect. Can we play that music this morning? You can walk confidently in his love for you, the individual. And this morning, I saved one verse. Pull that down just a little bit, yeah. I wanted to save one verse. The Apostle Paul, and he writes a bunch of letters. He writes 13 of them. And he writes one to Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. And they're a lot like us in our culture and our way of living. value, you know, important people, important places, and value things. They value things. And he starts his letter. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, I love this. He sort of stops and he prays. And this morning, I want to speak this word over you that the Apostle Paul spoke to his church in his letter. And here's what he writes in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19. And we'll probably post this week and we'll show some videos and just text you to remind you. It says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for you." Can I read that again? I pray that you, Hope Community, God's people, that you would begin to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is for you. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's really too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and of the power that comes from God. May you know that you're loved this morning by us, but may you know that you're loved by him. May you be like Paul says, and it says that you should know how wide and how long and how high and how deep is his love for you. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Don't run to people, don't run to things, and don't run to places. Run to him who loves you completely. And when you sit in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, let him lavish his love on you. Quit performing, quit trying to be something that you're not. Don't pretend. Begin to love who you are, because you are an image bearer, and he knows you, and you are loved. I'm going to read the last sentence and I'm going to quit talking. When you walk in that kind of love, Paul says, you will be made complete. We want people to complete us. When I got married, I was not clueless. I understood that I love Ted, but he would never complete me. Because my mama told me that a bunch of times. You know who completes me? God. I understood that just because I got married, I'm not anything against Ted. It's just I'm saying there are things that Ted's not God. My job, whatever it is you look to complete you, you have to look to the how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is God's love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete. Somebody say complete. With all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? This morning, if you struggle with accepting love, we all do, I think. Well, like my youngest, somebody told her something really kind this morning and just said, I think they even said they loved her. She's just like, blah, 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 blah. Like, she didn't want to hear it. It's just, it's hard. But then we'll remember all the bad things, right? Like how we got picked on and bullied. And we remember the thing that was whatever. And this morning, I just need you to fall in line with the word of God over your life. That you would begin to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is for you. Oh, God, would you shower your love on us? And God, you already have, so God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see it. God, open our ears to hear it. God, open our lives so that we could just sit in the presence of God and know that we are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we don't have to perform. We don't have to get it all together. God, the Bible says, for you love us with an unconditional love. God, it's written into our DNA. When you created us in our mother's womb and you knit us together, God, there was a love that came with you. Love us, God, equal to the way that a good parent loves their kids. God, you love us even greater than that. Oh, Lord God, would you shower your love on your people? God, would you begin that as they walk out of these doors, God, that they would begin to experience the love of God. They would know how wide and how long and how deep it is, Lord. God, that they would walk secure. God, they would walk complete, Lord. They wouldn't have to look to another source or another thing or another place or another experience. Like they could just sit down and say, but my God loves me. He hems me in. He goes before me and he goes behind me. He thinks about me. In Zephaniah, it says that the King of Kings, he dances over you. Stop running to people and places and things that will never make you complete. Sit in the presence of God who loves you. Jesus, if you struggle this morning, I don't want you to stand up because then it makes it weird and awkward. But if you struggle with this, even if you've been struggling with suicidal thoughts, one time I was in a service with young people and I was a youth pastor and felt like the Lord said that it's okay, well, there's somebody in the room. So we just sort of stopped service and we just said that. It was interesting. It was the pastor's daughter playing the piano who was struggling in that moment. And I think sometimes when you listen to the lie of the enemy, you think, well, my life doesn't matter. Do you know that the greatest percentage of people that commit suicide now is older men, right underneath that, young people. Do you know that we just, my kids, they, one of the kids from Central, just, it was too much. I'm going to say, if you struggle, you need to tell someone. I'll stand right here. We don't have to make it weird or awkward after service. Come and talk to me. But if you struggle, would you just sort of open up the palms of your hand and receive the love of God. I love doing that sometimes where we just say, okay, God, I struggle with receiving the love of God. Maybe you were never told that as a kid. Maybe you were never told that that someone loved you. Maybe you had an absentee father. Maybe you were abandoned. Maybe something happened between that relationship and you struggle with the love of God because you think you have to be a certain way or you have to perform or you have to get it all together. That's a lie. The Lord says that he loves you this morning. Maybe you think, well, this isn't perfect, or my marriage isn't perfect, or my job isn't, I'm not perfect. God doesn't need you perfect. He already loves you. He already loves you. You're his kid. And this morning, if you're struggling, would you just hold out the palms of your hand, and we're going to pray out loud and say, okay, God, I receive your love. And when the enemy comes back, like 20 minutes later, because you're in your car and you sort of said something crazy to your kids. I don't know, I'm just talking about my life. And so whenever you do that, you go and you put your hands back over and say, but I receive the love of God. Repent, yes, but I receive the love of God. He still loves me. He still cares about me. He still goes before me. Nothing's changed. He still goes before you and behind you. So if you struggle, would you lift out your palms and we're going to pray. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for your love. You have to say it sort of out loud. So, I mean, it's okay if you say it quietly out loud, but here we go. Say, dear Jesus, today I accept the love of God over my personal life. Today I pray you would open my eyes to see how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is your love towards me. May I experience the love of Jesus. Make me complete in all the fullness of life and full of the power that comes from God. In Jesus' name. Can I pray over you? Lord, I thank you. God, as your kids, we can walk complete. I pray, Lord, the lying voice of the enemy this morning that has spoken to some, God, I pray that that lying voice will be surrendered. God, that it will be nullified. They wouldn't hear it, Lord God, that they would understand. Every person in this room would understand that they matter Their life matters. Their touch matters. An enemy, I say, step off in the name of Jesus. I stand in between like Daniel, Lord. And I say, Lord, the enemy has to go in the name of Jesus. And I say, Lord God, that these people will understand that they are loved, Lord, that you have loved them with an everlasting love. I pray, Lord God, like Apostle Paul, that you would begin to open our eyes and we would see how wide, how long, how deep is the love of God. And we would walk in the completeness and the fullness of his love every single day of our lives. God, thank you that our lives matter. God, thank you that we're image bearers and that we're known. In Jesus' name we pray. And every